This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
16th to go, an American Pharoah and firing line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby!
Run Happy just keeps coming at him past the 16th pole. Run Happy, and boy, does this horse love to run. The aptly named Run Happy for Edgar Prado to take it.
Also sponsored by Abracadabra Farm, Adena Springs, Airdrie Stud, BetAmerica.com, Brisnet.com, Cal Density, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainsway, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Washington Hay, and Woodbine Entertainment.
But there's no catching Wedding Toast. Wedding Toast, much the best here, all the way in the Beldame.
There will be a fourth jewel in the crown. He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, with you as always, and happy to have you with us throughout HRN Nation on Sirius XM Channel 93, on affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, and of course streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. Believe it or not, including today, just 6 shopping days left until Christmas, which means that we are only 140 days, 9 hours, 31 minutes, and 40 seconds away from the Run for the Roses on the first Saturday in May at Churchill Downs. JT, how's that for a little update and breaking news?
Well, you know, it's not surprising. It's going to be here before you know it. I mean, it's crazy how fast time goes now. So, you know, what can you do? You just got to roll with the punches.
Yeah, and some Derby implications on the line later this afternoon at Los Alamitos with the running of the Los Alamitos Futurity. It's a grade one. Nobody has won the race more than Bob Baffert. Of course, it was formerly known as the Hollywood Futurity, and Baffert's won it 7 times. His first coming in 1997 with Real Quiet, and then, of course, winning it last year with Dortmund. And, boy, he's holding another strong hand again later today.
Yeah, he's got a couple of nice horses in there, but it's a deep field. It's certainly not a walkover, that's for sure.
No, absolutely not. Owen Hardy, of course, our good friend, represented in there as well. He's a former Baffert assistant and should be a really good race coming up later today at Los Alamitos, and we're looking forward to that. Hey, you know, JT, this is the first for us because, you know, it seems like we continually do these type of things on the network where we set new parameters and set the bar a little bit higher. I am actually sitting in Pittsburgh right now. You're sitting in our studios in Lexington. We've never hosted a show from Pittsburgh, so this is kind of cool.
Well, it's different. you know, I've done a few shows with the Big A when he's in New York and I'm in the studio, so I'm happy to be in the friendly confines of the HRN studio with our producer Lee Della Pina, and you can just stay in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, well, as people know that listen to this program, obviously I like to attend a few Steeler games every year. And, of course, my wife and I, the Baroness, made the pilgrimage up here yesterday for that game tomorrow with the Denver Broncos. But, you know, of course, I didn't want to miss the program for HRN Nation, so we get a chance to tag team it this way. I have a great TSA story for you as we were going through Lexington yesterday. And you and I, with all the traveling that we do throughout the year, always come up with some story at TSA. Well, we were going through, and for some reason, we weren't pre-check on this one. So we had to go through the regular security line, and which means you have to, you know, take off your shoes and all that stuff. And so I ran the shoes through the scanner, and I'm waiting for them to come out. And the agent takes my shoes, and she says, "Whose shoes are these?" And I said, "Well, they're mine." And she looks at me, and she says, "You have defective shoes." And I had never heard that before. I had no idea what it meant. And she says, "They forgot to include the arch support in your right shoe."
Wow.
How about that?
And you never knew this.
So if
you never noticed.
You noticed last week with those new shoes, I was walking.
With
yeah,
a
I was
limp?
Walking with a bit of a limp, right? Now we know why.
Unbelievable.
I was a little off on the right front.
I guess. Well, did you take the other one out, or are you still unbalanced?
You know, I did not take the other one out. I didn't even think about that. So I'm still a little bit off on the right front.
A little bit off. Well, anyway, that's amazing.
A lot of people would say I'm a lot a bit off.
Yeah, yeah. That's amazing. Crazy. Yeah, it's TSA at...
Yeah, I couldn't believe she picked up on it.
TSA at Lexington's always really, really nice, though. I mean, we know a lot of the people by name. We know some of the gals that work there, and, you know, they've had a couple of kids since we've been traveling and stuff, and I'll always ask about their families and whatever. It's a very nice airport. It's a great place to fly out of. I love it.
Yeah, it was very simple. We actually didn't really have much of an issue, you know, going through security at all. I mean, I just thought that was comical that, you know, they can pick up on so much when they look at the X-rays of your bags and your shoes and whatever it is. But for her to notice that there was no arch support, I thought that was quite comical.
Yeah, we've been stopped a couple of times because of stuff that you have in your bag. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. Use your imagination.
That's right. That's what they do at TSA when they look at your bag.
All right, well, a very busy show coming up right up until 10 o'clock Eastern time here on HRRN. We're going to get to our first break momentarily, and following that break, we're going to hear from trainer Owen Hardy. As I mentioned earlier, he is going to be active not just in the Los Alamitos Futurity in California, but he has horses running in big races from coast to coast. And yesterday, Jude, you had the chance to catch up with him, so we'll have that interview coming up after our first commercial break. Bill Farish from Lane's End is going to join us right around 8:35 Eastern. He, of course, the man who is guiding Lane's End into the new generation of stallions, so to speak, because they've added several new ones this year, including Tonalist, Honor Code, and Liam's Map. How is that for three big names? Well, we're going to talk to Bill about all of his new additions coming up at 8:35 Eastern. 9 o'clock Eastern, Tim Capps from the University of Louisville Equine Business Program will be with us. He'll tell you all about what's happening there and what's coming up for 2016. Chuck Simon, well, you're going to hear from him at 9:27. He actually joined the Big A, Anthony Stabile, on Express Bet Radio this past week with the heartwarming feel-good story of Coco's Cat, who he saddled to win a claiming race back on December 11th at Gulfstream Park. He'll tell you that story and everything that that horse had to go through and overcome in order to get back to the races and then ultimately win. It's a really fun story. We'll have that one for you at 9:27 Eastern. And then at the end of the program, we will take a look at some big races around the country, and the Pontiff will share his selections for the Mr. Prospector, the Tropical Park Derby, and the Los Alamitos Futurity. So an awful lot of things to get to. It's going to be a very busy morning, and we will kick it off next with trainer Owen Hardy here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Lane's End.
Adina Springs added Macho Uno's best son, Mucho Macho Man, to their stallion roster for the 2015 breeding season. And with 95% of his mares getting in foal, he certainly took to his new job well. Mucho Macho Man earned $5.6 million on the track, culminating in his thrilling victory in the 2013 Breeders' Cup Classic over Will Take Charge and Declaration of War.
On the outside, Declaration of War, Will Take Charge. Mucho Macho Man just keeps on finding on the lead. will take charge of late run. Oh, that's close. Mucho Macho Man, the more they asked, the more he gave.
Few horses can be multiple graded placed at two, run in all three legs of the Triple Crown, and then go on to become a Breeders' Cup Classic winner as an older horse. And all this from a foal born June 15th. Visit AdinaStallions.com to learn more about Mucho Macho Man and all the Adina Stallions.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
The Gulfstream Park Championship meet continues with three stakes races Saturday afternoon, the Grade 3 Mr. Prospector and the $75,000 Tropical Park Derby and Tropical Park Oaks. And don't miss Breakfast at Gulfstream every Saturday morning, the perfect way to start your racing day. Post time during the championship meet is 12:05 on Saturdays and 12:35 all other live racing days. For more information, visit GulfstreamPark.com. Ramsey Farms, Kitten's Joy.
Stephanie's Kitten and Erod Ortiz Jr. for America in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf.
A champion sire and producer of three Grade 1 winners in 2015.
Chiropractor March Chiropractor in a driving finish here over March.
With more than $11 million in progeny earnings this year.
Big Blue Kitten won the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic.
Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com. Are you a believer?
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Justin Phillip retired sound following 32 lifetime starts, 23 of those coming in graded stakes, with nine buyer speed figures of 100 or better by the exciting young sire First Samurai and a half-brother to three other graded stakes winners, including Algorithms, Seeing is Believing, with Justin Phillip at Castleton Lions. Are you a believer? Hashtag Justin's Believers. Start now with your Cal Density Mare and Foal Feeding Program. Sales results were obvious at this year's Keeneland September Yearling Sale. Yearlings produced from mares fed Cal Density through their formative year were impressive, as well as horses trained and raced in 2014 and so far in 2015. Clean radiographs, conformity, strong bones, and overall health was the big winner at auction and on the track. Order your plan today at caldensity.com or call 877-744-9006 for more information.
Hi, I'm Richard Migliori, and I love listening to Horse Racing Radio Network. Good night, Barbados.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Real quiet up the inside rail. Long shot, Can-Can Me. Arosa and Swiss Echo are backpedaling past by Buttons and Moe's. John Bill set down for the drive. Doc Martin coming out. Here comes National Ore revving up from the back of the pack. Top of the stretch now. Double Honor set down for the drive. Tackled by Real Quiet to the outside. And Artax gearing up down the center of the racetrack. Real Quiet. Here comes Artax on the outside. Double Honor at the rail. Real Quiet has forged a short lead. Artax on the outside. Real Quiet in front. Artax not getting to him late. Real Quiet winning the Hollywood Futurity.
Always great when we can get a call on the show from the late friend of mine, Luke Kreipbosch, and he did have that call, the 1997 Hollywood Futurity. Real Quiet providing Bob Baffert with his first of seven victories in the race. That is a record. He's going to look to add to that record later this afternoon with two contenders coming up in this year's edition of the Futurity, and we'll see if he can pull it off. Both of those horses highly regarded and both sitting in the favorites role coming up in that race this afternoon. Number four, Taze on Ice, and number five, More Spirit. They figure to be a handful out there today. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, we're with you on the Equine Forum. That's the Baron and the Pontiff. And JT, boy, there's nobody better, as we learned this past year, than Hall of Famer Bob Baffert at getting a horse ready for a big race. But when you look at some of the names that he has sent out to win this race. Not just Real Quiet. He won it with Point Given. He won it with Captain Steve. He won it with Dortmund last year. These are monster names in that two-year-old and then turning three-year-old division.
Yeah, you know, he's always stacked with those types of horses, and he's done a great job in this race over the years. He wasn't, I don't think he had a horse in it the year that I ran in it. I should have won this race. Cordero screwed it up. He didn't follow my instructions, but it was interesting. The year that I ran in it with Broadway Point, the first four finishers all came out of the race and won a stakes in their next start, including my horse. So it was it's always a really, really good race. It was one of the first, maybe the first $1 million race in the United States. A real tradition, and it's a shame this is going to be the last time it's run at Los Alamitos. I don't know if somebody's going to pick it up, but it's a race that has a long tradition. It used to be called the Hollywood Futurity.
Yeah, Chicago sports fans have a few rooting interests in this race as well in terms of the names of some of the horses. I mentioned Taze on Ice, who, as you informed me earlier, because I'm not a hockey fan, is named for a player on the Chicago Blackhawks. And then you have Owen Hardy sending out number one Urlacher, and I guess in reference to Brian Urlacher, the linebacker for the Chicago Bears.
Yes, and when you hear the interview, Owen will explain a little bit about that.
Well, as I mentioned, you did have a chance to catch up with Owen yesterday. He talked about the Futurity. He also talked about his contenders going to the post in the stakes races at Tampa Bay Downs later today. And here is that interview with Owen Hardy.
You're going to be a busy man Saturday. You've got five horses running in stakes?
Well, that's, you know, it rains or it pours. When it rains, it pours.
My first question to you is going to be, how long has Sheikh Mohammed been a Chicago Bears fan?
You know what? He'll probably tell you all his life. However, Dan Pride, who is the CEO at Dorley America, he is the one who personally named that horse.
We're talking about Urlacher.
Urlacher, exactly.
Yeah. Urlacher is my wife's favorite Chicago Bear. She sports her Urlacher jersey on occasion every Sunday when he was playing, but now that he's retired, it's not always the Urlacher jersey, but what a great player he was, a certain Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
So this horse, he's kind of living up to the Urlacher name. He's a real hard-knocking horse. What can you tell us about him?
Well, I think, you know, Dan Pride is obviously a huge fan of Mr. Urlacher's, and he saved that name. He wanted to make sure he put it on a good one. So he had named the horse before he sent it to me, so he obviously knew what he was talking about. But he's always been, just like all the good two-year-olds that I've ever had, ever since day one, he showed plenty of ability, and he's moved forward with every race. He's yet to disappoint me. He's always trained well. He looks better now than he's ever looked before, and I expect him to run accordingly.
Well, you've trained him kind of old school with the two sprints and then the stretch out. I mean, it looks like you took a page out of Charlie Whittingham's book here.
Charlie Whittingham took a page out of my book.
Well, the guy whose pages we've all been reading is Bob Baffert, your old boss, and he's got two in there that look pretty salty. Have you sized up the race at all?
Well, I've looked at the race. You know, no matter what Bob throws in there, it's always going to be salty. You know, they're going to be salty and they're going to be fit. The horse, More Spirit, I've run against him twice. He's beaten me twice. So it's, you know, I'm really going to have to move forward to beat him. The only chink in his armor is that he's shipped cross country. He went back and forth already at the end of November. So you're hoping that's going to catch up with him. Toes on Ice, or Taze on Ice, I'm not sure how you pronounce it.
Taze, I believe. Another Chicago name.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Maybe he's a Chicago exacta.
That would be nice.
Would be. But he's stretching out for the first time. He's going a mile on the 16th. And, you know, if he can't go that far, then it's up to somebody else. So they're not locks on paper. This is all the stuff you tell yourself the day before the race, and then of course post time approaches, you start leaking badly. But right now, I'm full of confidence.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, your horse is really a nice horse. He's a good looking horse, and he's a strong horse. And you got Jimmy Graham. You can't go wrong with Jimmy Graham, huh? He's pretty good jockey. So it looks like
Jimmy's very effective. He gets all he can out of your horse. And he's unflappable. I think he's a very underrated rider out here in California. But day in, day out, he's as honest as they come, and that's why I use him.
Yeah, well, he's okay with me, if that means anything. We're talking, of course, about the Los Alamitos Futurity Grade 1. I think Baffert's won it seven times or something like that. But Owen's going to take a shot at his old boss with Urlacher in there, and that's... That's a nice horse, Urlacher. We'll keep an eye on him as we go towards the Derby. He should really appreciate longer distance, huh? Mile and eighth, mile and a quarter should be right up his alley.
I would hope so. You know, he's certainly got the pedigree to suggest he'll go that far. His father was a phenomenal miler. And, you know, he was by Forestry. There's no reason he shouldn't be able to stretch out. And then, of course, you've got AP Indy on the dam side. And the further they go, the better they are.
Yeah, that's the classic breeding. So we got classically trained, classically bred. Let's keep an eye on old Urlacher. Now at Tampa Bay on the other side of the United States, I don't know how you're going to fly back and forth and saddle all these horses, but
molecular transfer.
There you go. Beam me up. You've got two in the Sandpiper. Now, this is the Philly Stakes. For two-year-olds, $100,000. They're throwing some money around at Tampa Bay this year. That's nice. A little bit extra in the pot. You've got Conflate and Slip of the Tongue. What do you want to tell us about those two?
Well, they're both fillies that are probably going to be better suited to two-turn races. However, it's a stake race. It's $100,000. It's the opportunity to put black type on a couple of two-year-old fillies, and it's a hard thing to pass that up. I don't think sprinting is their game for either one of them, but I'm going to take a shot. Slip of the Tongue is a daughter of Colonel John. She's extremely honest. The only knock I have on her, I think if it was a two-turn race, I'd be throwing money at the windows. But she should run very well. And Conflate, you know, she's done nothing either. She really showed me very little as a two-year-old, and that's why she went to Belterra to break her maiden. But after that, she really stepped up and moved forward. She ran a very good race at Hawthorne. She likes the dirt. So that's what's going on there.
Yeah, Slip of the Tongue, she's run a mile three times, and this will be her first sprint race. Colonel John, I got to tell you, you trained Colonel John, and I don't know if you've seen him lately, but he just looks fantastic. We did a show from Windstar the week before Breeders' Cup, and I happened to get a chance to see Colonel John out of his stall. Some people were coming to look to breed to him, and man, did he look good. And he's got two horses on the Derby trail. He's really coming around, huh?
Oh, he, absolutely. You know, he just, for whatever reason, you know, it's all fashion in this business. If you don't hit the ground running with your two-year-olds, you know, people forget about you quickly. But he's really, I've always had a lot of faith in Colonel John. I've done very well with his offspring. And when he went out of fashion, I was able to buy some at bargain basement prices and do very well with them. But I think he's a very underrated stallion. And you're right, he does look good. And whatever he has in his DNA, that horse, even in the middle of winter, always had a short, sleek coat. He's just, you know, he's phenomenal.
Yeah. He looks awesome. I've encouraged several people to breed to him because of just that you know, few minutes that I spent with him, I was just blown away by how good he looked. He's a good-looking horse, very correct and strong. Got a big old rear end on him now that he's a stud and not working as hard as he used to.
Yeah, he was kind of like Urlacher from day one. From the very first time I worked that horse, I knew I was dealing with something a little bit better than most. and he never disappointed me.
That's good. And Conflate, you know, she's by Bernardini out of a Southern Halo mare, miraculous pedigree. And don't you kind of like those horses that don't train very good and then they run good? Isn't that a good feeling instead of the other way around?
It's a good feeling after you run them and you realize they can run a bit. It's not a very good feeling when you're going in and you've saddled one and you're looking at Bob Baffert's horse that have got 3 gate works, all of them in under 57. Here's your horse who's all out to go a half from the gate in 52. But when they jump up and surprise you, it is nice, absolutely. You know, it really kind of takes a lot of the strain and worry out of things because you know what's in there, but it's just going to show up on race day rather than in the mornings.
Yeah, I think that's always a good thing. I'd rather have them run good than work good. Well, the eighth race at Tampa Bay is the inaugural stakes, and that's also $100,000, 3/4 mile. And you've got Transform in there for Godolphin, and then you've got Brary, who's named after the esteemed governor of Kentucky, former governor of Kentucky. Wish he was still the governor of Kentucky.
Really?
So
that's another show.
That's a whole other show on another channel. So what do you want to tell us about these two?
Well, Transform is the male equivalent of Conflate. He showed very little in the morning early on. And he went to Belterra to break his maiden, which he did, and he did it easily. And then I sent him to Mountaineer for an A other than. And he got shut off, stumbled badly coming away from the gate and looked like he had no shot. And then he just took off like a raped ape at the quarter pole. And won very impressively. And ever since then, the light seems to have gone on with him, and his works have been a hell of a lot better. He's a proven commodity sprinting on the dirt, so I think he should run well. You know, tomorrow's going to be a baptism by fire. We'll find out exactly what we've got.
Yeah,
but
he had that minute and four breeze there at Tampa. That's like the fastest he's ever. Well, he had a minute at Arlington, too, best of the morning. So he's kind of catching on. You're absolutely
Yeah, they were all post-race. Believe me, he was a 104 before his first race.
Uh-huh.
And Brary, he's a very, very attractive horse. He's a beautiful horse. He's by Haynesfield. I see no reason why he can't sprint. You know, he's run long. He sprinted at Presque Isle, ran a very good race first time out, then I stretched him out on the turf. And he ran another very good race. So this is the first time on the dirt, and it's the first time, you know, going 3/4, but I think he should run very well, too. There's no reason he shouldn't run well. He's trained very well on the dirt. He's built like a sprinter, so I'm expecting a big effort from him as well.
Yeah, both those races are really good. They're really salty races. There's a lot of contention in there, but
that's right.
I think both of your horses look really good in the inaugural. You know, a lot of trainers have that round, worn-out spot from their chewing tobacco in the back of their pants, but you probably have, like, ripped pockets from all the condition books. You got horses running everywhere. You're like a mini Jack Vanberg in the old days. How do you keep track of all of that?
I'm like a trainer's version of Where's Waldo? Where's Owen today?
All you need is the red and white striped shirt, huh?
Yeah. But you know what's been a big help to me? It was the iPad and the Equibase website.
Uh-huh.
The Equibase website is fantastic. It's second to none. And you can go on there. You can pull up your overnights from different tracks, find out what the extra races are. You got all the condition books with the indexes. So if you're planning on shipping around and finding a spot, that's the way to go.
Wow. That's great. Yeah, the old school, you used to have that stack of books on your desk.
That's right.
But now you have them all in one little spot. That's cool.
Yeah, I still prefer the condition book if I can get my hands on it. But in the meantime, I'll rely on Equibase. But unfortunately, a lot of horses, as you well know, Jude, they don't all fit at Santa Anita or Saratoga. And you got to make the most out of what you've got. And that's basically why you see so many of these horses shipping to spots where they can be effective. And it helps, especially when you're training for breeders. Every win helps. It helps the sire. It helps the dam. The dam can run a horse at Saratoga and finish 5th at 12 as a 2-year-old. You can send the same horse to Belterra and win 2 in a row. So now the mare's produced a winner of 2 at 2. It's, you know, it all trickles downhill. So that's basically why I do what I do.
Yeah, no, it's great, and that's one of the beauties of having horses on the East Coast is there's so many places to run, especially, you know, in the spring and summer. You have a that's choice right. of races, and if a horse doesn't like a certain racetrack or whatever, in California it's like an island. You're stuck. I mean, they have that's to right. like the track they're at or Golden Gate Fields, and that's it, especially these days. So, you know, it's a huge advantage, and if you obviously have a knack for it, finding the right spot for the right horse, and that's great. So I'm all in favor. I love it.
Where's Waldo?
Well, that's what I said to you when I called you to ask you to come on the show. I said, where in the world is Owen Hardy?
Yeah, I'm here temporarily. When I see the feed man coming around the corner, then I'm going to get on a plane and go somewhere else.
There you go. Ditch the feed man. Always a good idea. Well, we really appreciate you checking in with us and allowing us this time. And best of luck with all your horses. We'll be watching and cheering.
All right, Jude. Thanks for calling. I really appreciate it, too.
All right. Thank you.
Trainer Owen Hardy with the Pontiff Jude Feld yesterday afternoon. JT, I have to tell you, that was so enjoyable to listen to you visit with Owen because, first of all, Owen is a character, and he has that Baffert type of quick wit to him. And boy, he was so much fun. Some of those one-liners he threw in there were outstanding.
Yeah, no, he's a great guy. We've known one another a long time, and he is a consummate horseman. His father is a trainer. You know, he's been around the business a long time, and he takes things with a grain of salt, and he always has a plan. So it's great to see him winning so many races, and I think he's doing the right thing with these horses. Find some spots, give them some confidence, and take it from there. He's doing a great job.
I loved his Where's Waldo line, but then the one I really liked was right in the beginning of the interview when you told him that he was taking a page out of Charlie Whittingham's book, and he said that Charlie took a page out of his book.
Yeah, highly unlikely, but I know you know Owen, but if our listeners don't know him, he kind of looks like Where's Waldo, and if you're familiar with the book, and he's a very thin guy, and you could actually see him in that red and white striped shirt, but it's kind of funny that he brought that up because people have been teasing him about that for a long time on the racetrack.
Yeah, well, Owen Hardy, very busy today. He has, of course, those four horses in the stakes at Tampa Bay Downs, and then he has Erlacher going to the post in the Los Alamitos Futurity later this afternoon as well. All right, it's time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, this segment each and every week brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington. I tell you every week that if you're in the market for a new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle and you are in the Lexington area, look, there's only one place to go. It's the Lexus Store of Lexington. They're horse people. They want to support the industry. They do support the industry as the sponsor of the Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, and they have a Keeneland shop right there at the Lexus Store of Lexington. They're on the corner of New Circle and Liberty. You go in and see the Godfather, Tony Ottiano, and all the great people, and I promise you, you will not be disappointed when you go to the Lexus Store of Lexington. This is your Lexus Legends of the Turf, and when we come back, we'll hear from Bill Farish from Lane's End as he tells you all about their new additions to an already stellar stallion roster. We're back with more right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
At beautiful Hialeah on a warm, pleasant Saturday afternoon in February of 1956, a banner field of thoroughbreds went postward while the running of the highly prestigious Widener Handicap. The winner's share of the purse was to be $92,600. In that super field of nine horses that were to answer the call to post were Sailor, Find, Social Outcast, Man of Destiny, Nashua, and an invader from Venezuela, El Chama. There was an all-time record crowd on hand, 42,000-plus, breaking the previous high watermark for attendance by some 5,000. The previous largest crowd had been on Flamingo Day in 1955, when Nashua won that event as a three-year-old. Most of those on hand, many of whom jammed the paddock area with cameras, came to catch a glimpse of the Sonny Fitzsimmons-trained Nashua, who had Eddie Arcaro in the irons and packed a top weight of 127 pounds. There were a number of critics who felt that Nashua had worked too fast just a few days before the race, having clocked a 2:02 flat just the Tuesday previous to the race at Tropical Park. That workout had been necessitated by a very heavy strip at Hialeah. Still others doubted that Mr. Fitz could bring Nashua up to a winning effort under the heavy impost against a very tough handicap field at 1.25 miles after having been off the racetrack competitively for 4 months. Nashua appeared to be highly keyed up in the walking ring. Arcaro admitted that he was ranked right up until the time the field loaded into the starting gate. The strategy was no doubt for Arcaro to drop Nashua off the early pace while stalking the early leaders and then make that one big run. There were other notable closers in that race, however. Alfred G. Vanderbilt's entry of Find and Social Outcast were both highly capable of making late runs. So, at least in theory, it would become a cat-and-mouse game with rating and judging of pace being most critical. At the break, it was Sailor going out to the front, but Arcaro was forced to let Nashua have a little bit more of his head than he would have liked, since his mount was virtually pulling Arcaro out of the saddle. As it turned out, Nashua stayed head-and-head with Sailor through the early going, and the question became that if that early rapid pace with Nashua's top impost of 1:27 would in the long run take its toll on the crowd favorite. Not only that, but the well-noted closer Find was right there lurking in third, waiting to pounce. Sailor was the first to succumb to the pressure of the early fractions, and Nashua assumed the lead as the field swung on around the far turn. Fine had not given up the chase and was hanging right with Nashua as they hit the top of the stretch for the final 2 furlongs. It was Nashua, Fine, and now Social Outcast was making his big run as expected from well off the pace to get up into contention. As they came to the final 16th, it was Nashua hanging tenaciously to the lead, with Arcaro getting everything he could from the strapping colt, then Find, Sailor, and Social Outcast, who was charging out in the middle of the racetrack, gobbling up huge strides. Nashua stayed on gamely and courageously in front of the wire, barely holding off the flying Social Outcast by a head, with Sailor only another head back and Find fourth just 3 heads back in a classic example of the well-known blanket finish. It was, by any measure, means, or standard, a great horse race indeed. One of the stewards, Cal Rainey, said it had been the very best horse race he had seen in 20 years. That win by Nashua, the big son of Nasrula out of Segula by Johnstown, put Nashua over the $1 million career earnings mark, and he thereby joined the illustrious Citation as the only other horse up to that day to reach that lofty mark. A blanket finish and a victory for Nashua in the Widener Handicap, February 1956 at Hialeah. A great moment indeed in thoroughbred racing.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Declaration of War has taken it up and wins the clean.
Departing wins the Illinois Derby.
War Command has gone clear in the Coventry.
Warfront has sired graded stakes winners on every surface.
Jack Milton.
And grade one winners, both in the U.S. and abroad.
It's Air Force Blue who storms to the front. Air Force Blue will go on to win the Kingland Phoenix Stakes.
Making a global impact, Warfront continues the legacy of his sire, Danzig. Warfront at Claiborne Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Passion.
And Bodie Meister is turning the Arkansas Derby into an absolute romp.
Performance.
And pioneer of the Nile and Garrick Derby has won the Santa Anita Derby.
Gainesway stallion Empire Maker has produced 11 Grade 1 winners, including two-time Breeders' Cup Distaff winner, multiple Eclipse champion, and six-time Grade 1 winner, Royal Delta. Other Grade 1 winners by Empire Maker include Emollient, In Lingerie, Country Star, Mushka, Acoma, Icon Project, Last Full Measure, and Grace Hall. The heir of Mr. Prospector's best classic line, Empire Maker, boasts an impeccable pedigree. Out of Broodmare of the Year, Tussauds.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce Summer Front for the 2016 breeding season.
Summer Front! And Joe Bravo have won!
A multiple graded stakes winning millionaire by the Great War Front, Summer Front began his career as an undefeated multiple stakes winner at 2 before going on to win graded stakes at 3, 4, and 5, boasting a top-class pedigree and the jaw-dropping looks that made him a $475,000 sales horse. The explosiveness, the looks, and the pedigree to be a truly important sire. Airdrie Stud's Summer Front. Think about it.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrell.
Super Saver wins the Derby for Tom Fletcher and for Calvin Burrell. Burrell's third win in the Kentucky Derby.
You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Three quarters in 109-3. They're into the stretch, and it's Liam's Map. Oh, he's got a five-length lead coming to the eighth pole. He's run a huge race. Wicked Strong and Honor Code have a furlong to reel him in. Totalist is next. They're coming to the final 16th. Liam's Map reaching for the wire. Honor Code running out of time. Liam's Map, here comes Honor Code. Here's the wire. Honor Code looked like he got him in the last stride. Running down Liam's Map in the Whitney. And then it was Tonalist and Wicked Strong. And a final time of 1 minute 47.82 seconds.
Larry Colmus with the call of that Grade 1 Whitney at Saratoga earlier this summer. And what a horse race it was. Honor Code running down pace setter Liam's Map. You heard the call. And, of course, Tonalist finishing in the third position that afternoon. Great renewal. It was a race you heard right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And we do welcome everybody back to the Equine Forum presented by Lane's End. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, we are with you as always right up until 10 o'clock Eastern time. And, JT, boy, you think back on that performance by Honor Code. It really did just take your breath away to see him explode in the final 16th of a mile.
Yeah, it was an amazing race. So one of the best races I've ever seen at Saratoga, and it's also amazing that those three horses are now standing at Lane's End Farm. Somebody had tweeted out the other day that they wondered if they were going to reenact that race in the paddock. And I said it was probably highly unlikely because they weren't going to turn them all out together. But wouldn't that be a great commercial, watching those three horses run through the paddocks at Lane's End Farm? That would be awesome.
No, just unbelievable. And I guess we could ask our next guest for an answer to that question. He is, of course, Bill Farish from Lane's End. And Bill, first of all, congratulations on securing each of those three stallions. In addition to Mr. Speaker, they join an already powerful stallion roster at Lane's End, and certainly appreciate you spending a little time with us here this morning.
Back in 1 year, all Grade 1 winners and all millionaires. A real thrill to have four top stallions like this, four of them standing the same year.
I guess there's no chance we see that race in the paddock, though, right?
Pretty unlikely. although Honor Code and Liam's Map have looked each other in the eye to eye a couple times, but I don't think we'll turn the three of them out together.
Well, let's start with Honor Code, the son of APND, a horse that you campaigned, multiple Grade 1 winner, earner of more than $2.5 million. Boy, what a great fit and a great addition to that roster, and what a great way to carry on the legacy of AP Indy.
It really is, Mike. It's exciting, you know, being from the last crop of AP, and this guy might be, you know, arguably his best son ever. It's very exciting to have that happen in his last crop, and with the pedigree and a physical that he has, is you know, it's just very exciting. And when we bought him as a yearling, we had, you know, high hopes, but he lived up to them and more.
What a fantastic training horse he was. I mean, just watching him train was awesome. I mean, just pulling the rider's guts out every day. I mean, just a fantastic specimen. And then, you know, you look at his pedigree and you see all those names that everybody in the world knows, Seattle Slough and Stormcat and Terlingua and Mr. Prospector and AP Indy, of course. I mean, just amazing all the way around.
Yeah, it really is. He was one of those, you know, as you said, presence-wise, the way he trained, the way he ran with his head down, the way AP Indy did, and to have that kind of pedigree, you know, Serena Song, you didn't even mention her. I mean, it's just an incredible pedigree, and to roll all those things into one really do make him an exciting stallion prospect.
Bill, so many people in this game wait a lifetime to get a horse in their stable like Honor Code, and you've been so privileged with Lane's End to have unbelievable horses over the past, well, several years. And just kind of curious, can you put into words what it's like to campaign a horse of that caliber?
Well, it's a little nerve-wracking, to be honest, Mike. We, you know, once he won the Remsen, you know, we really knew we had a stallion prospect that even without a Grade One would have been given every chance at stud, given his physical looks and his pedigree. But so it was a little nerve-wracking going into his three-year-old year, just because. You know, we didn't want to get him hurt for one thing, and we wanted to, but we wanted to see that brilliance at a mile and a quarter. And of course, going into his 3-year-old year, we had Derby dreams, and he was really the future book favorite for the Derby over the winter. So, you know, it was incredibly exciting because we knew how much talent he had. Shug knew how much talent he had, and to see it all come together in the Whitney against that, you know, arguably the best field. Well, the Met and the Whitney both had, I think, six and seven Grade One winners in the field. It was incredibly gratifying, and you know, he just lived up to everything we'd hoped.
This was a horse that Delridge Farm bred, and it would seem that you guys bought into him later on. So you must have had all of this in mind from day one.
Well, you know, you dream that way, but even having all the parts that he had, and at the time, Noble Tune, his half brother, was doing really good things on the racetrack and made the pedigree, really legitimized Serena's Cat, his dam, who has just gone on to do incredible things. I mean, she's, you know, her weanling sold last year for over $3 million and sold another weanling this year for a huge number. So, you know, she's really stamped herself as one of the best broodmares in the country. And so to get Honor Code was really a serious touch of good fortune for us.
Visiting with Bill Farish from Lane's End here on the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bill, let's talk about another horse that boasts an, well, almost impeccable pedigree, because you have a son of leading sire Tappet retiring to stud, and that is Tonalist, winner of the Belmont Stakes, a two-time winner of the Jockey Club Gold Cup, a tremendous win in the Grade 1 Cigar Mile to wrap up his career, and earnings of more than $3.6 million. Boy, another great fit.
Yeah, you know, he really does. We've really had more success at Lane's End with two-turn classic-type stallions, and, you know, he really fits that bill. He had the ability to win a Grade 1 at a mile, but also another, you know, another graded stakes, the Westchester at a mile this year, but carry that speed a distance, you know, winning the Belmont at a mile and a half and two Jockey Club Gold Cups, just incredible at a mile and a quarter. So he was very versatile. I think he net after his second race, his maiden win, he never got beat by anything but Grade 1 winners, and was just so consistent, always on the board, and you know, ran great races. Christoph Clamont did a fabulous job training him, and it's a real coup to get him back.
Yeah, he was a fantastic racehorse, but you know, the deal now, everybody breeds for speed. You know, they want to win early, a 2 year old, that kind of thing. But if you want to get a horse that's going to go the classic American distance, I mean, he's the ideal horse to breed to, I think.
He really is. And, you know, to have Tappet on the top, who has, you know, certainly is a speed influence, Pleasant Colony on the bottom, who's, you know, really one of the top stallions in the last 50 years. Pleasant Colony, if you look at his statistics, he never got the number of mares given the time that he stood in, but the percentages are phenomenal.
Well, and then, of course, there's Liam's Map, who joins the roster, another millionaire coming to Lane's End, 6-4-8 lifetime, and he ended his career with back-to-back victories in Grade 1 races, the Woodward and the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, respectively. And, you know, that win in the Woodward was outstanding. But, Bill, when you think about his win at Keeneland in the Dirt Mile, he had a little bit of trouble that day. It wasn't the most ideal trip, and he was so much the best in that huge race.
Yeah, a little bit of trouble is putting it mildly. We were really shaking our heads halfway through that race. What could go wrong did go wrong, and he showed, you know, tremendous grit, finding his way through the seam and then just drawing off. He just ran a super race. I'm not sure if the Whitney wasn't his best race. Going a mile and eighth and just getting caught at the wire by Honor Code. He ran a monster race, really the all three of his last starts, and just a, you know, great looking sound son of Unbridled Song, which is not easy to come by, and we're absolutely thrilled to have him.
Yeah, you've got two horses that ran incredible races, looked like they were hopelessly beaten early on in the race and ended up winning, Liam's Map and Honor Code. I mean, those two races, they really kind of stand out for me over the course of the year. As you know, we travel around the country. We see a lot of races, and those two races were outstanding. Liam's Map's race in the Breeders' Cup, I mean, I wouldn't have given 2 cents for his chances down the backside.
And I agree.
He ends up winning. And the same with Honor Code when he beat Liam's Map. I mean, there's no way that you would think that horse was going to get up and win. Both were just incredible races, and now you got them both standing there. It's crazy.
It is crazy. It's great. And, you know, it's just incredibly exciting. And what's been so fun to see is the breeders' reaction to both of them. I mean, both stallions are oversubscribed by threefold, and the hard part has been saying no to so many really great qualified mares just because we don't have room.
Well, you've
Bill,
also
tell me a little bit about Mr. Speaker. Here's a horse that joins the roster this year as well, and a bit of a different type of horse, because so much of his success came on the turf. And here's the son of Pulpit, owned by Phipps Stable, trained by Hall of Famer Shug McGahey.
Yeah, Mike, he's a horse we've had our eye on for a long time. He's an exceptionally good-looking horse with a great pedigree, bred on the same cross as Tappet. And we've been watching him. You know, when he won his Belmont Derby, we thought, oh, God, we're not going to be able to get him just because he looked like he was, he was just going to reel off a big number of wins. But, for whatever reason, that really was his last top race. And we were kind of excited because he did run at two and was a stakes winner at two. And did prefer the turf, although Shug really believed he, even though he tried him somewhat unsuccessfully on the dirt, really thought he could run on the dirt. And when given his pedigree, he's got dirt all through it. So we're thrilled to have him at at $10,000. We think he represents tremendous value, and his pedigree is physical and his race record, it's a real bargain for breeders, we think.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I mean, that is a bargain stud fee. He had tremendous ability. He was a really good horse. He didn't always show up. You know, he had some races where you go, how come he didn't run good? And then it was like almost like he could read the tote board. When he was going to pay a big price, he'd fire away with an amazing race. He's a really, really good horse, but you never knew which Mr. Speaker was going to show up. But the pedigree is there. $10,000. I mean, you really can't beat that.
No, it's amazing we didn't, at that Belmont Derby time, we certainly didn't think that was going to be a stud fee, but I think, the way things unfolded, it really gives breeders an opportunity to get to a top prospect for not a lot of money.
Yeah, of course, Honor Code Tonalist, Liam's Map, and Mr. Speaker joining an already powerful stallion roster at Lane's End, and Bill Farish joining us here on the Equine Forum this morning. Bill, can't thank you enough for all your time here today and for filling us in on what folks can look forward to for the upcoming breeding season at Lane's End, and really do appreciate all your support of what we're doing here on the network. Can't do it without you, and want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, my friend.
You too, Mike. Thanks for having me, and anytime. It's fun to talk to you guys.
All right, Bill. Here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And boy, JT, you look at that stallion roster now. As if it wasn't already good enough, you add those four to the mix, and boy, breeders are going to have a lot of opportunity to do some good things with the Lane's End Stallions.
Yeah, well, Lane's End's such a beautiful farm and always has a good complement of stallions, but this is a pretty tough group right there. I mean, that's some excellent, excellent racehorses, and they have deep pedigrees, and you look through them and you just go, wow, that's amazing. So it's going to be a good year for Lane's End, I'm sure, and well into the future with these four horses, a really nice complement of stallions.
Bill Farish, like all of our guests who appear on the program, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. And if you're looking for the perfect gift for the horse racing fan on your list this season, simply go to embracetherace.com and embrace your passion for horse racing. It is truly the lifestyle brand of horse racing at embracetherace.com. We're back to get you set for the second half of the program. A lot of things to look forward to. We'll tell you all about it next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events. I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair strips.
FlareStrips.com.
Introducing the Spendthrift for 2016 Pallas, the multiple grade one winning millionaire and fastest son of leading sire CityZip. Pallas proved to be a leading sprinter in North America in 2014 and 2015, winning such New York staples as the grade one Forgo Stakes, grade one Vanderbilt Stakes, and grade two True North Stakes. Pallas is set to retire at season's end to Spendthrift. For more information on Pallas, call us toll free at 888-816-8787. That's 888-816-8787.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is the finest premium Western Timothy and alfalfa, direct from Washington State. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in Central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Learn more by following Washington Hay Company on Facebook today.
Jude Feld, the pontiff of the Pick 4. You hear him on HRRN Radio. Now get his personal selections directly from him at his new site, PopeJude.com. Every analysis sheet at PopeJude.com has his personal selections and insights. Each page is a handicapping lesson packed with years of racing knowledge, coupled with insider information gleaned from the pontiff's countless connections in thoroughbred racing. Whether you're looking for another set of eyes on the past performances or inspired racing analysis to assault the windows, PopeJude.com is the site for you.
Hi, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile, inviting you to join me for Express Bet Radio on HRRN. Tune in for live racing action from around the country every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. It's the place to be on your drive home, through the final furlong of your workday, and for all fans of the sport of kings. It's Express Bet Radio on HRRN, on Sirius 220, XM 206, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
If it happens in horse racing, it happens on HRRN.
Stop charging. Maria wins the Longines Breeders' Cup Distaff. It is all Songbird. Mike Smith aboard, crushing the field. He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Racing's biggest events are right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, the pontiff of the Pick 4. Busy first half of the program with the interview that Jude did yesterday with trainer Owen Hardy. Some amazing things in that interview. Really fun to listen to. We'll have it on our website later this morning if you missed any portion of it. And, of course, Bill Farish from Lane's End joining us just a few minutes ago. And if you did miss any portion of that first half of the program or any of the Equine Forum, you can go back to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out a podcast of this program and all of our shows. They're there for you, horseracingradio.net. And that includes our trainer talk show from this past week with Dan Hendricks. It was a full hour talking with the trainer from California, and you won't want to miss that because it was really enjoyable. And you can do it now on our website and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. And if you have the Horse Races Now app from Kenny McPeak, well, you can listen on there as well. JT, fun first half of the show, and really looking forward to the second half.
Yeah, it was great. A lot of good information and entertainment, which is what I like.
Yeah, of course. And before we do get to the second half of the show and our interview with Tim Capps, who joins us from Louisville in just a few moments to talk about the University of Louisville Equine Business Program, I want to remind you that Tonalist, Mr. Speaker, Honor Code, and Liam's Map, who you just heard Bill reference, they reinforce that powerful Lane's End Stallion roster. This 2016 roster builds on Lane's End's legacies, AP Indy, King Mambo, and Smart Strike. As the new crop joins the ranks of current standing stallions, Candy Ride, Lemon Drop Kid, Mineshaft, The Factor, Union Rags, Noble Mission, and City Zip. The successful tradition of the 13-time leading stud farm continues, and it continues at Lane's End. You can learn more by going to lanesend.com. All right, second half of the show coming up next, right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End.
The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
Songbird is just rolling past the eighth pole, has the lead by six. Rachel Valentina is in second, but there is absolutely no stopping Songbird.
Beholder, once again, is just making this look so easy. It is Beholder in an absolute canter, being geared down late by Gary Stevens. Beholder in a formality.
Stop Charging Maria, short lead. Stellar Wind is fighting on. Stop Charging Maria just keeps battling back. Stop Charging Maria wins the Longines Breeders' Cup Distaff.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
And welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, rolling on this 19th day of December 2015, meaning that including today, you have six shopping days left to Christmas. And that also means that we are edging ever closer to the first Saturday in May. Never too early to get that Derby fever. 140 days, 8 hours, 28 minutes, and 25 seconds away from the Kentucky Derby. What do you think, JT? You excited?
Oh, I love the Derby. Just just ask anybody that knows me. I do love
the
Derby.
We're an hour closer than we were when we first came on the air.
Yeah. Well, I never count my chickens. I just hope I'm still here when it hits.
Listed as day to day.
Day to day. Always day to day. Take nothing for granted. Every morning when I wake up, I go, wow, I fooled them again. How about that? So,
well, as I mentioned, if you missed any portion of the first half of the show with Owen Hardy or Bill Farish, you can go to our website, horseracingradio.net, for a podcast. That also includes the second half of the show, which features Tim Capps, who is the director of the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. He'll join us momentarily. And right around 9:30 Eastern, we're going to hear from trainer Chuck Simon. He joined the Big A, Anthony Stabile, on Express Bet Radio this past week. And he told the very much heartwarming, feel-good story of Coco's Cat, who won a claiming race at Gulfstream on December 11th. So stay tuned for that. And at the end of the program, Jude and I will take you through some of the big races coming up this afternoon, including the Mr. Prospector and the Tropical Park Derby at Gulfstream and the Los Alamitos Futurity out in California. But without further ado, we do welcome in Tim Capps, the director of the Equine Business Program at the University of Louisville. And you heard the commercials on this program over the past several months. And if you're wondering what it's all about, well, we're going to tell you right now. Tim, happy holidays and welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. I'd probably rather be where you are. I saw your announcement about your programming at Gulfstream, and I can think of worse places to spend a winter.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We will we'll be at Gulfstream in January. We're not there currently. We'll be there in January, then we'll be there all of February, all of March, and through the Florida Derby on April 2nd with our new Saturdays at Gulfstream broadcast series. And that's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait to get down there for the winter. But it's funny you say you'd rather be where I am, because I'm currently
sitting here in Pittsburgh,
Pittsburgh. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Getting ready for the black and gold tomorrow. And JT's back in our Lexington studios. And, you know, if you want to come on up, well, I got plenty of black and gold for you up here.
I think we've got enough cold here. here and Lexington. So we're good.
Yeah, we had a little bit of snow last evening here in the area, and actually coated the roads just a little bit. So it's the first snow that I've seen all season because, as you know, Tim, it's been balmy throughout much of the East Coast, including down there in Kentucky. Well, let's talk about the Equine Business Program for a minute. I mentioned that folks have heard the commercials. It's a program where students actually get a business degree, but there is an equine focus to it. Tell me all about it.
Well, it's in the college business, so it's the only thing of its type in the world. And the students who come here go through a four-year program as if they were a marketing or finance major or any other business discipline, and they walk away with a degree in business administration. But the focus, of course, is on the horse business. And being located where we are, we have a chance to give them a lot of exposure to some very high-level professionalism in the industry. So they get to see a little bit of all of it. And yesterday I was talking to two alums who are employed in the industry, and I was thinking through the roster of just the people who've graduated since I've been here and where they are. You know, we've got Lindsay Schultz, who's working for Tom Proctor, and Liz Crowe, Bradley Thoroughbreds, Jennifer Bayer at Keeneland. We've got a cast of thousands working at Churchill. These are kids who came here wanting the business degree, but also wanting to focus it toward a career in the industry, and have been able to do so. So we've got a lot of them out there, and we're proud of them, and stay in touch with them, and try to develop the program through their input, you know, things that they've seen that they'd like to see us incorporate.
Well, it's so important in the horse business to take care of the business side, and this is something that I always stress to people that ask me questions about wanting to be horse trainers or be in the industry. And you know, people in the horse business, they're all about the horses. And sometimes the business side of it falls by the wayside. But it sounds like this is a program where your graduates can go out and do a lot of good, because there's a market for people that know about business amongst people that know about horses.
See, that's exactly right. My own experience in it, and I've been around it since the 70s in a professional sense, is that you get a lot of people out here who are passionate about horses and who know a lot about it, who know a lot about how to raise them, how to foal them, bring them up, train them, sell them, et cetera, who have never really had exposure to just the day-to-day function of running a business, their own business. And it's, the industry is a substantial, but lots and lots, thousands and thousands of small businesses. So what we're trying to do is to take that passion they bring with them and help them not only understand the horse side of it, but also understand what it's like to pay attention to running the actual business part. And so what they're going to get exposure to finance and economics and marketing and computer systems and so forth, but with an industry twist to it. And being where we're located, we're in a position to give them opportunities to do internships and part-time jobs in real-world horse businesses. So hopefully what we're turning out are people who have the ability to go out and compete in the marketplace and do somebody some good in some business enterprise that's horse-related.
Tim, as a director of a program like this, when you're approached by a young student looking to get involved, what are some of the key points you want to make sure that you relay to them before they enroll in the program?
Well, I'll tell you my tongue-in-cheek pitch. It's not really tongue-in-cheek, it's serious, but the way I approach it often when I'm sitting down talking to a high school student who's starting to look at colleges, and usually the parents are with them, and I look at them and I say, well, let me guess, sometime when you were between 3 and 5 years of age, you were bitten by the horse disease. You got the horse bug. The good news is it won't kill you, but the bad news is it can bankrupt you. So the purpose our program serves is to help you learn the industry from the standpoint of how it functions, how different types of operations function, how things interact within the business. And so you walk out of here with a business degree, but you're also going to get a lot more exposure to the horse industry. And you're probably never going to lose that bug, but for you to do it professionally, you're going to need a pretty well-rounded view of what it's all about from both the horse standpoint and the day-to-day functions of these wide variety of organizations out there. So what we're really trying to pitch them on is the idea that they need a pretty broadly based education to be able to function well in it. And, you know, when I was kind of running through my Rolodex of graduates yesterday and thinking about where they were, and truly between the organizations, some of them are actually out running their own businesses. Others are working for bloodstock agencies or major farms, racetracks, transportation companies, you name it. We've been able to open the door for people to go out and actually do the kinds of things that we talk about in the classroom.
Well, that's such a big part of it, too, is being able to get a job when you graduate. And there's a lot of people that, go to college and they get out and they end up without a job or hustling around for one. But I would imagine that the contacts that they make while they're in this program are really beneficial to them getting hired quickly out of college.
Absolutely. One of the advantages of being where we are is that we're in an area of the country where there is a, you know, a very high level of interest in the industry, and there are a lot of businesses and organizations that are part of the industry that are located in Kentucky. And as you guys know, the level of professional skills in the industry is probably nowhere higher than it is here, just because of the concentration of activity. So they really get a good chance to get exposure and people and to organizations, and it gives them an opportunity to decide if this is really what they want to do. And a lot of them decide that is what they want to do, and they pursue careers, and others do other things but maintain their connections to the horse world.
Tim, as somebody who's been in this game a long time, as you referenced just a few moments ago, and someone who is teaching young people what the business side of the game is all about, what are some of the key issues that will be facing students when they get out, when they get a job within the industry?
Mike, I think there's a much higher level of complexity in the business world in general today, and it certainly spills over into the horse world. Certainly on the racing side, I've been around it long enough to see it transition into something that no one would have imagined it would be 30 or 40 years ago, with simulcasting, off-track wagering in various forms, electronic wagering, an era when you can actually use your smartphone to make wagers and access information. So to be competitive going forward, anybody who's in the business is going to have to understand something about technology. They're going to have to understand the basics of accounting, of banking relationships, and marketing, things that for the most part, were not on the front burner for people for years who did anything horse-related. And it's a much more complex world. It's a faster-paced world. And so an understanding not only the nature of the industry as it was, but as it might be, is critical. So we spend a lot of time talking about industry issues of the moment, how they came to be and where they might go, to try to give them the biggest, the broadest picture possible. And I think that's critical for them going forward. And I look back at my own history with it, at what I knew coming in and what I didn't know. And so we try to bridge those gaps for them and send them out there, you know, as prepared as we can to look at what is a much more diverse and complex world than the one I had my first job in the industry with the Jockey Club in the 70s.
Tim Capps, our special guest here on the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End, of course, the director of the Equine Industry Program at the University of Louisville's College of Business. Tim, before we let you go, look ahead to 2016. Any changes with the program, any new developments, anything along those lines that people can look forward to?
Well, we're always tinkering, but I think this coming year will be a year when we're probably going to make some adjustments and add a couple of new courses to do things that we think will reflect the industry going forward a little better, to be more specific. As one of our adjunct faculty a few years ago said, we want this program to look like a career opportunity. We want to create courses that look like jobs and look like opportunities for people. So we're going to make some adjustments as we go. Not that we feel like what we've been doing isn't good, but you can certainly always do it better, and you can bring it forward. So we'll be making a few changes course-wise that I think will be exciting for the students, and trying to add value through their experiences from, like I said, internships, part-time jobs. We've had good reception from the industry in that regard, and so we're looking forward to 16 and beyond, as well as to the Derby.
Yeah, edging closer to the Derby, by the way. Do you want to know how many days we have left and
yeah,
hours and minutes,
down
Tim?
To a science. I was waiting for split seconds. I thought you were getting down into the hundreds there for a minute.
Well, I can tell you this, 140 days, 8 hours, 15 minutes, and, wait for it, 26 seconds.
Is that to the off time or is that post time?
That's probably to post
time. I don't
know. That's probably to post time. But it's
on their website. I don't know, man.
It's got to be pretty close, though, because television, there's no mistakes with television.
Not a lot of wiggle room there.
Nope.
Tim Capps, our special guest here on the Equine Forum. Tim, can't thank you enough for all your time, for all your support of what we do here on the network. It's impossible for us to do what we do without the support of people like yourself, and really appreciate it. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we'll look forward to catching up with you in 2016.
Same to you, and thank you for all you do.
All right, Tim Capps on HRRN. And JT, you hit the nail on the head when you talked about the business side of this game, and you know that better than anybody as a former trainer. You better know how to handle your business part of this as opposed to just, you know, the training side or riding if you're a jockey. You better be able to handle the business side as well, and that's why that course is so important.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, I was a victim of that myself. You know, you spend so much time thinking about horses and you know, dealing with the horses and your clients and stuff. A lot of times the business side goes by the wayside, and you know, I was lucky. I got some help from a client of mine, and had a good accountant at the tail end of my career, and that's so important. But you know, you really need to know about it yourself. You can't just let other people run your business. You need to stay on top of it, and I know that now, and I wish somebody would have clued me in early on in my career, but nobody ever did, and so that's why I always stress to people that's a very important part of being in the horse business, is the business part. And so programs like this go a long way to help people.
Tim Capps, like all of our guests who appear on the program, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle, as classy and alluring as the game itself. You can embrace your passion at embracetherace.com. And if you do want to learn more about that equine business program at the University of Louisville, simply go to business.louisville.edu/equine, and you'll be able to pull up all the information that you need and see what the program is all about. It is time now for your Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. Murphy really hits 3,000 wins. That's right. Jockey Glenn Murphy celebrated his 3,000th career win again. This time, it's all four victories aboard Thoroughbreds. The top rider was holding a congratulatory sign in the Zia Park Winner's Circle December 14th for the same feat, but it turned out an Arabian race had accidentally been included in the tally, so Murphy was actually still a race short 4 days ago. Under a daring ground-saving ride December 18th, opening day at Sunland Park Racetrack and Casino, Murphy captured his true 3,000th career Thoroughbred win. And Espinoza named track announcer at Charlestown. Paul Espinoza will become the full-time track announcer at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races when the 2016 meet begins January 7th. According to the West Virginia Track, Espinoza, 26 years old, a Charlestown native, has been an occasional fill-in behind the microphone at Charlestown over the past 2 months while a search was conducted for a new full-time announcer. And, of course, many of you have heard Paul on our programs throughout the year. He's our colleague here on the network. I want to congratulate him on that new position, and well-deserved, and a rising star in the sport is Paul Espinoza. And that is your Blood Horse News update for this morning. For more industry news and headlines, just head on over to bloodhorse.com. How cool is that, JT? Paul Espinoza, new announcer at Charlestown.
Yeah, that's great. You know, we shared the Breeders' Cup broadcast with him, and that was a lot of fun. Paul's a really good guy, excruciatingly good looking too. So, you know, it's not surprising that he was hired at Charlestown.
Yeah, you and I were kind of taking a knife to a gunfight, so to speak, with that Breeders' Cup coverage, weren't we? Because we had Paul sitting between us. We had former Miss Connecticut Acacia Courtney out in the paddock along with the dreamy one, Sean Clancy. So you and I really didn't stand a chance.
No. Those people are all cut out for television, and you and I are definitely radio guys. No question about it.
All right. Well, I told you that Chuck Simon joined Anthony Stabile on Express Bet Radio earlier this week, and he told the great story, a heartwarming story. I thought it was appropriate with the holidays upon us, of the filly, Coco's Cat, who overcame an awful lot to get back to the races. She did so. She won a claiming race on December 11th. He's going to tell you all about that story and her trials and everything she went through when we come back right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Lane's End.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, one of the best policies we sell is a homeowner's policy. It provides property coverage for the home and contents, and also personal legal liability protection against bodily injury or property damage caused by the insured. The homeowner's policy, however, is not a business policy and should not be relied upon for business activities.
Do some people think there is business coverage in the homeowner's policy?
Yes. Some horse owners, for example, think there is liability protection on their homeowner's policy against bodily injury or property damage caused by their racing or breeding stock. The horse owner should actually carry a separate equine owner's liability policy to protect against horse ownership exposures.
Thanks for clearing that up, Joe. For your equine, farm, personal, and business insurance, call Joe Brown Nicholson at Nicholson Insurance Agency, 859-224-7080, or visit NicholsonInsurance.com. You gotta know Joe.
Power.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again! Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Passion.
And Bodie Meister is turning the Arkansas Derby into an absolute romp.
Performance.
And pioneer of the Nile and Garrick Gomez has won the Santa Anita Derby.
Gainsway stallion Empire Maker has produced 11 Grade 1 winners, including two-time Breeders' Cup Distaff winner, multiple Eclipse champion, and six-time Grade 1 winner Royal Delta. Other Grade 1 winners by Empire Maker include Emollient, In Lingerie, Country Star, Mushka, Acoma, Icon Project, Last Full Measure, and Grace Hall. The heir of Mr. Prospector's best classic line, Empire Maker boasts an impeccable pedigree. Out of Broodmare of the Year, Tussauds.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
And they're off in New York. The premier state bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Verrazano, brilliant winner of six of his first seven starts, including the Grade 1 Wood Memorial.
And they're coming down to the finish, and it will be Verrazano!
And the Haskell, by a record 9 3/4 lengths, earning a buyer figure of 116, the highest of any three-year-old in 2013.
And Verrazano and John Velasquez have blown away their competition!
Verrazano, a great-looking son of More Than Ready, standing in Ashford.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
There's an eighth of a mile to go. Stays in Vegas, cutting into the lead. A pretty and cool. Here's Street Fancy erupting along the inside. And Street Fancy comes to tackle. Stays in Vegas. Street Fancy with a stellar rally. Stays in Vegas. Street Fancy wins the Starlet.
Street Fancy, the daughter of Darley stallion Street Sense, displayed her professionalism with an impressive win in the Grade 1 Starlet Stakes this past weekend. Rated off the pace by Hall of Famer Mike Smith, Street Fancy rallied up the inside to record her second victory in three lifetime starts. And that brilliant effort in the Grade 1 Starlet makes her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Following the impressive Starlet win by Street Fancy, Darley Stallion Street Sense now has three Grade 1 winners in 2015. Street Fancy also became the sixth Grade 1 performer for her sire. Only Tappet, Warfront, and Medaglia d'Oro have more. To learn more about Street Sense and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine.
Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Around the far turn, Coco's Cat on the inside, the leader by a neck as they come toward the top of the stretch. Pelagia to the outside now draws up alongside in second. These two turn for home. Blaine Dixie, third, trying to come and get them. Then Whisper on the street on the inside. Starship Tammy is coming late in between horses, and on the far outside it's Secret Diary. But Coco's Cat and Paco Lopez have the rail in the lead as they come down to the line. Coco's Cat will win. Starship Tammy ends up second. And then came Whisper on the Street, followed by Pelagia and Secret Diary.
Back on the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End, Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four. And Jude, that call from Larry Colmus of Coco's Cat winning a claiming race on December 11th. It was race six at Gulfstream Park, and it meant an awful lot to her connections. The three-year-old daughter of Wildcat Air had to overcome an awful lot to get back to the races and get to that point, and to see her win like that was pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to hearing what Chuck has to say about it.
Yeah, well, she did overcome a lot, and she went through a lot to get to the races that day. Nobody knows that more than trainer Chuck Simon, who joined Anthony Stabile this past week on our Express Bet radio program, and here's what Chuck had to say about this three-year-old filly, Coco's Cat.
So the day we claimed her, she grabbed her quarter in the race. Really, really bad. She had a really big gash on her left foot. As a matter of fact, she showed her toughness that day, holding on. A lot of horses would have quit, with a cut of that size on their foot. But so we got her back to the barn, and outside of that, she seemed fine. But it was going to take a little while for that to heal up. And about 5 or 6 weeks later, she had been training really, really well. We'd given her a little bit of time to let that foot heal, and she was training really well, and I told the owner, Rich Chardonis, Rich, I think you made a really nice claim. I said, this filly in the summertime down here against Florida Breds, you know, they have the Florida Bred allowance race. I go, she might be able to win that allowance race, and she seems like she's going to be a nice, you know, useful horse. And things were proceeding well, and it came in one afternoon, it was one morning, and she's a very, very ornery horse. She's not very friendly. And she's the type that pin your ears, and she'll take a swipe at you, or she'll take a bite at you. And she was very, very lethargic, and she was actually acting nice, which was unusual. And went ahead and took her temperature, and she had a temperature of 103, which isn't all that unusual. Horses get sick, they get lung infections and things like that, and they crop up, you know, pretty quick. And generally, we treat them with some antibiotics, and we treat them with something to try to get their temperature down, and usually they'll respond quick. This filly, she really didn't respond at all. Her temperature really hardly went down, and she never really perked back up. And I said, you know, let's send her over to the clinic where they can evaluate her, and they can keep her under watch 24 hours a day, because this is unusual that she didn't respond to the medication. And it was a good thing that we'd sent her there, because she had a real nasty infection. It was going to wind up turning into a pneumonia in her lung.
Wow.
And when she got there, they have a standard course of treatment is to take a culture to try to determine what medication will be most effective against that particular bug. She went through 4 different medications that the test said that she would be sensitive to, and not a single one of them really, really did the trick. And she was very, very sick, and she was fighting it, but it was hard because the medications just weren't doing the trick. And I get a call about almost, I guess about 3.5 weeks in from the internal medicine specialist at Palm Beach Equine when they first present. Dr. Timmons said, there's only one medication left that this is sensitive to, except it's going to be extremely, extremely expensive. So, you know, thoroughbred horses, they're big and they require, you know, when they do get hurt or they do get sick, they do require a lot of medication. I mean, their doses are much higher than like what a human would take. And, you know, we're not that immune to, you know, the decent-sized bills. I mean, if your horse gets a simple lung infection, between scoping them to, you know, to check their lungs and the antibiotics and something to clear their lungs out, you know, you might run $700-$800 over the course of a week.
Sure.
So when she said very, very expensive, I was thinking, well, you know, she's going to tell me this is going to be, you know, $300-$400 a treatment. So I said, well, that's good. And she really, she kind of chuckled and she said, no. Now, she said, this is preliminary, but we're talking about $3,000 a treatment. I said, $3,000?
Wow.
I go, how many days? She goes, 7. I go, so you're telling me it's going to cost $21,000? For 7 days of this, you know, antibiotic, you know, what is this, like, super antibiotic? And I guess it's the antibiotic they use it fights that MRSA, which is like a flesh-eating bacteria. It's like the most powerful antibiotic there is. And I was like, well, not for nothing, Doc, but, you know, we've already got $15,000 or so into the clinic bill on top of the $15,000-$16,000 we had into her. I mean, there's just a limit as to how much you can spend, and especially when none of the other antibiotics had shown any success. But she said, well, let our pharmacist check around. So they call back this afternoon, or later that afternoon, said he found a 7-day course of that treatment. It's going to be about $2,800 to $3,000. So I call Rich, and Rich said, do it. And he said, I just want the horse to, you know, to survive. And a lot of guys are like that. I mean, it is a business, and you know, Rich isn't you know, he's not Shake Rich Chardon, so he doesn't have you know, a country full of oil wells that he can tap into. But wanted to do the right thing, and it wound up working out because that medication did work. It did help her on the road to recovery. And we got her back to the barn, and it was very, very hot. You know, it's summertime here, and we made the decision to send her up to Philly just because I know it's hot in the day, but in nighttime it would cool off some. And Rich lives in Philly, and Bobby Mosco, trainer, which is trainer up in Philadelphia, one of a couple of trainers. He's at the Philly, and did a great job, you know, getting her back on track and getting her legged up. And like I said before, she's not an easy filly to deal with. Very difficult. Matter of fact, the other day before her race, she was excused from the paddock in the walking room because she was acting up so bad. But, you know, we got her back down here a couple weeks ago, and everything went well, and, you know, the race turned out to be, you know, came off the turf, which, I mean, obviously helped us. Speculation if she ran the same race on the turf or off the turf, but it worked out good, and it was nice that it worked for the guy that put in the money and did it for the right reason. Not only gets the horse to survive, but to make it back to the race and to win first time back. That was really nice.
Trainer Chuck Simon talking about Coco's Cat and everything that this 3-year-old filly had to go through to get back to the races after becoming ill. And Jude, wow, you talk about willing to do whatever it takes. And we talk about this a lot here on the show that, you know, so many times horses are treated so well in this game. And all that ever makes the headlines is the rare times that a horse may not be treated well. And here's a prime example of what owners and what trainers will go through to make sure that they can do everything possible to make that horse comfortable and get that horse well and healthy and able to run their big race.
Yeah, it is amazing, you know, that we don't have more of these stories being told, because so many people in our game love their horses. They would do anything for them, regardless of cost or whatever it takes. If you have to stay up all night with them every night for a year, people would do that. And it's amazing. Everybody in this game appreciates horses. I mean, and sometimes, you know, there's a bad apple in every facet of life, every industry, every occupation. You know, by and large, the people in thoroughbred racing, the horses always come first. And it's a great example of that.
Yeah, and just put yourself in the shoes of Chuck Simon and owner Richard Chardone. They do everything they can for this filly, and then they find out that she's going to need this special antibiotic, which they're quoted at $3,000 a day for 7 treatments. So they're talking $21,000. And we've all been there before. Anybody who's owned a pet and a pet has become sick, and you take them to the vet and you've done surgeries and you've done everything you could do to keep your pet well. And then that time comes where they say, look, you know, we can keep trying, but it's going to cost an exorbitant amount of money. And it becomes a matter of whether you want to, you know, put your pet through it or whether, you know, you have the funds to invest to keep trying. Well, I'm not convinced that they wouldn't have gone and kept trying at that $21,000 price tag. But thankfully, they were able to find another version of the antibiotic for a much, much lesser price, became much more affordable. And, it, you know, obviously it worked. And to see Coco's Cat back in the winner's circle is so heartwarming and just one of the true feel-good stories of the year, in my opinion.
Yeah, it has to be gratifying for everybody. I claimed a horse for Vic Tabak one night. He called me at 10 o'clock at night. I was already asleep. And he said, Jude, I want to claim this horse tomorrow. And he had had a half-brother to this horse named Velamo. And so I claimed the horse for him. He was adamant he wanted him. And John Valpredo had trained him. Owned him and trained him, and so we claimed him, and he wasn't in good shape after the race. He had a fever, and he had a couple of physical problems, and my vet said, you know, we had him, and the claim was insured, and he said, you know, I think this horse is very, very marginal to make it the next few days, and if you want to put him down, you know, I think it might be a humane idea. So that wasn't good news, and I called Vic. He was filming Alice at the time, and he didn't want to put the horse down. He says, can you do something with them? And I said, well, I'll do my absolute best to keep him alive and going, and we'll see where he ends up. So anyway, the horse made it. We treated him, we got him through some issues, and we had claimed him for $32,000, and so I messed with him for a couple months and got him going good. And I called Vic. We were at Del Mar. And I said, well, I got your horse in. And, oh, what kind of race is he in? And I said, he's in the 7th race. I didn't want to tell him I entered him for 12.5. No, he goes, like, what's the claiming price? And I go, 12.5. He goes, 12.5? We gave 32 for him. I said, yeah, but, you know, he wasn't even supposed to live for 2 days. And I said, so let's go with it. Well, that horse, he won the 12.5 race. He came back and ran second. Then he won 6 races in a row after that. He got all the way up to Calbred non-winners other than, and he grabbed a quarter coming out of the gate, and I had to give him some time off. But, I mean, what a terrific horse he was. And you know, the fact that Vic didn't want to put him down, and we spent some money on him getting him rehabilitated, but to have that happen, to win, you know, 7 out of 9 and 6 in a row. I mean, it was unbelievable. And people still ask me about that to this very day. Whenever we're in California, somebody will bring up Velamo, and it always brings a smile to my face because he was a cool horse. One time the vet wanted to scratch him. He came by the barn to look at him, and the horse, he was a cougher. He used to cough all the time, and there was really nothing wrong with his lungs or anything, but he just coughed. And so the vet, you know, came and looked at him, and he approved him to run. And then as we were putting him back in the stall, he started coughing, and he goes, the horse is coughing, maybe we should scratch him. I go, no, he smokes 4 packs a day. I don't know why he coughs like that, but he always coughs. And he goes, really? Are you sure, Jude? And I said, yeah, no, he's fine. And so the vet let me run him. And he, of course, he won by three. And after the race, he goes, you must be right. He must be a smoker. So, but wow. Yeah, he was a cool, cool horse. And you know, people don't realize all that stuff behind the scenes. They look at the PPs and whatever. And, you know, but they don't realize what goes into that, to getting a horse back to the races and how hard it is sometimes and how much money is spent to do that. So hats off to Chuck and the whole team that took care of the horse. And it sounds like, you know, a really happy ending.
Yeah. Great story and what this sport is truly all about. And those are the type of stories that should make the headlines. And unfortunately they often don't, but we wanted to bring that your way here on the Equine Forum this morning. And if you're wondering about how you can hear more stories like that on Express Bet Radio, well, all you have to do is tune in every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoon, 3 to 6 Eastern Time. It's our newest show. Just launched it, at the end of Saratoga. And trust me, you won't want to miss it. Anthony Stabile, the Big A, joined starting on this coming Wednesday by the Little A, Acacia Courtney. That's right, the A-Train is coming to Express Bet Radio on HRRN, and it's all there for you Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 3 to 6 Eastern. They bring you race coverage from across the country and also mix in some interviews with people like Chuck Simon, and a great way to spend your afternoons. Sirius 220, XM 206 are the channels for Express Bet Radio, and you can always stream us, like all of our shows, on our website, horseracingradio.net. We're going to get to a break. When we come back, we'll take a look at some of the big races coming up later this afternoon, including that Grade 1 Los Alamitos Futurity. Before we do, well, let's remind you that Tonalist, Mr. Speaker, Honor Code, and Liam's Map reinforce the power of Lane's End Stallions. This 2016 roster builds on Lane's End's legacies, AP Indy, King Mambo, and Smart Strike. As the new crop joins the ranks of current standing stallions Candy Ride, Lemon Drop Kid, Mineshaft, The Factor, Union Rags, Noble Mission, and City Zip, the successful tradition of the 13-time leading stud farm continues, and it continues at Lane's End. You can visit lanesend.com to learn more. We're back with more right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Click, order, eat. The new way of ordering Jimmy John's Freaky Fast, Freaky Good Sandwiches is a trend that's sweeping the country. With me tonight to discuss this amazing phenomenon is Ed Stephanopoulos.
Hello.
America's favorite sandwich delivery guy.
That's not entirely true, Bob.
Excuse me?
Technically, all Jimmy John's delivery guys are America's favorite sandwich delivery guys, not just me.
I see. Okay, but we're here tonight to...
Actually, what I just said wasn't entirely true either, Bob. See, some of Jimmy John's delivery guys are actually delivery gals.
All right, so now we...
Or women, or ladies, or females, or persons of the non-male gender.
Ed, could we...
Although I guess that would be a mouthful.
A what?
I mean, if I had to say America's favorite sandwich delivery women or ladies or females or persons of a non-male gender.
Okay, let's say that regardless of whether your Jimmy John's sandwich will be delivered by a guy or a gal...
Or a woman or...
The fact remains that now you can order that sandwich online using Jimmy John's amazing Click Order Eat system.
That's correct, sir.
And what would you say is the basis of that system, Ed?
The what?
The basis, the essence, the sine qua non.
It's Click Order Eat, Bob.
Moving along here, Ed, what would you say has made Click Order Eat so wildly popular?
Well, what do you think, Bob?
It's freaky fast.
Bingo, Bob.
Click Order Eat, Jimmy John's freaky fast new online ordering system.
You sound just like a commercial, sir.
Now horse players can get an early edge on Saturday's most anticipated races. Daily Racing Form introduces the Saturday Stakes Preview, a new weekly publication that previews past performances for all Saturday stakes from tracks around the country. For the first time, get past performances for all the races you're looking for in one convenient product. Each issue includes the past performances of horses entered in all major stakes for the coming Saturday, plus additional data, stories, and free access to DRF Plus, all for just $6. It's everything you need to jumpstart your handicapping a full day sooner. So look for the Saturday Stakes Preview print edition at all Daily Racing Form retailers each Thursday, or get it online at DRF.com on Wednesday evenings. Don't start your Saturday handicapping without the Saturday Stakes Preview. Try it this week. The Saturday Stakes Preview at retailers each Thursday. For more info, go to DRF.com.
Hi, this is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They come into the top of the lane, and Tay's on ice, and Mac Daddy Mac, Mac Daddy Mac now strikes the front as they come to the eighth. And it's Mac Daddy Mac, Tay's on ice, not bad done. He's coming right back along the inside. Homeward bound, Mac Daddy Mac, Tay's on ice, coming back at the rail. They head and head, Tay's on ice, Mac Daddy Mac, Tay's on ice to win it. Tay's on ice has won the Bob Hope to Mac Daddy Mac. I'm already there third, then Dr. Dorr. Behind that, Street Vision, Jury, and On Fire was last.
Track announcer Trevor Denman bringing them home in the Grade 3 Bob Hope Stakes at Del Mar on November 14th. And Tay's on ice for Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert. Getting the victory that day, he gets a rematch with the two rivals who finished behind him in that race later this afternoon in the Grade 1 Los Alamitos Futurity. Bob Baffert also represented by 8-5 morning line favorite More Spirit in that race, and Tay's on ice and More Spirit breaking side by side in post 4 and post 5 respectively. Jude, we started the program talking about Hall of Famer Bob Baffert and how nobody has won more editions of this particular race than the Hall of Famer, and here he is looking for, well, to add to his record, really, and pick up win number 8.
Yeah, and probably nobody's won more races at Los Alamitos than Bob Baffert as far as the trainers in this field. So he's kind of on his old stomping grounds, his home track. But his entry of More Spirit and Tay's on Ice looks, you know, pretty tough to beat. If you look at More Spirit, you know, he's only won one race, but he finished second in the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club at Churchill in his last start to Aero Force, who's a really, really talented colt. He's got Gary Stevens. I really like this new team of Baffert and Stevens. It's always great when you got two Hall of Famers hooking up. And Stevens has always ridden well for Bob, and Bob's using him a lot lately, so he looks tough to beat. He's got the experience going two turns where Tay's on Ice does not. But Tay's on Ice, what a tremendous road to improvement he's on. And he should be able to stretch out. He's by Arch, who stands over at Spendthrift Farm. And this horse, he's won 3 in a row. His last race at 7 furlongs was no problem for him. You never know until they try it, but certainly he should be able to get the mile in a 16th, I would think. We talked about Urlacher with Owen Hardy, and Urlacher's a really talented horse. He's run second twice to More Spirit, but he's going to have to pick it up if he wants to beat that one. He's gotten beat 3 and 4 lengths by him in the two starts that they met. And then Doug O'Neill's got an interesting horse. He's still a maiden, but he ran second going a mile last time out, and that's Sorry About Nothing, who is a son of Repent out of a Chapel Royal mare. And they paid $220,000 for him at OBS in June. He got beat by Urlacher last time, but was moved up to first via DQ. So an interesting horse, and a horse that looks like he's on the improve as well. Very, very tough race, but I'd have to give the edge to More Spirit, who's got the two-turn experience, but tough to separate the two Bafferts as far as the top pick would be concerned.
And that's a seven-horse field going postward in the Grade 1 Los Alamitos Futurity, Race 8 on their program this afternoon. Post time, 3:58 locally on the West Coast, which means you can catch it 6:58 Eastern time. And, again, race number 8. We're going to take you to Gulfstream Park to look at the Grade 3 Mr. Prospector and the Tropical Park Derby in just a minute. But, Jude, I kind of waited toward the end of the program to hit you up with this because I wanted to make sure that you didn't keel over and that I would be able to have you with me for the full 2 hours. But you remember a few years back when we were at the Kentucky Derby in 2012, and we were looking first and foremost for a celebrity to join us on the broadcast. And Andre Agassi was there. We were trying to get him to join us. That fell through. Aaron Rodgers was there, if you recall, and Churchill was working to get them, get Aaron to us, and that didn't work out. Well, lo and behold, we got a text message from my wife, who was down in the paddock helping us out, and she said, hey, how would you like to have a Pittsburgh Steeler as your guest interview for your celebrity? And I said, well, absolutely. And next thing you know, a few minutes later, in walks Steeler safety Will Allen, and he sat down with us and did an unbelievable interview that day, and we've never forgotten it. He was so well prepared. It was his first horse race of any kind, and he had gone and read books about horse racing and betting just to make sure that, you know, he knew what he was talking about when he showed up at the Derby. And fast forward 3 years now, we've kept in touch and had a chance to catch up last year when we were in town for a quick dinner. Did the same thing again last night, and was joined by Alexis Maddox, who works with his Will Allen Foundation, where they help the several children. Had a great time last evening. And here's the point, Jude. You ready for this? I ate lobster last night.
Oh, fantastic. It took Will Allen to do it, but...
Are you still there?
I'm still there. That's great. And what did you think of said lobster? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, and I actually made the confession to Will and to Alex. I said, okay, after I ate a few pieces, it was, by the way, phenomenal. I told them, I said, you have to know something about me. I'm not a fan of fish or shellfish or anything that lives with SpongeBob in the sea. And I said, this is the first time I've eaten lobster, and I absolutely loved it.
Mm-hmm. There's really nothing better, actually. I'm looking forward to Christmas. It's a traditional Christmas dinner at our house. So, I'm glad. I'm glad you're expanding your horizons. And I tell people all the time when they speak about your food rules, et cetera, that you are improving. You're taking a shot. Let's say your buyers are increasing as far as the food sources are concerned. That's great. Congratulations. Thank you, Will Allen.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And thank you, Will Allen, and a great visit last night. And, Michelle and I are big supporters of his foundation, and they do so much to help kids here in the Pittsburgh area. They actually took 25 underprivileged kids from the Boys and Girls Club shopping the other night and bought them gifts. They were able to buy gifts for themselves, for their parents, their pets, their grandparents, whoever it might be. And it's a really cool thing, and I'd encourage everybody, if you're looking for something special to do this holiday season and you want to make yourself feel well with a nice gift, you can do that by donating to the Will Allen Foundation and going to willallenfoundation.com. It's a pretty cool deal and a great way to spice up your giving this holiday season. All right, Jude, let's get back to horse racing and take a quick look at the races down in Florida, the Grade 3 Mr. Prospector and the Tropical Park Derby. Let's start with the Mr. Prospector. Share your thoughts on that one.
Well, the Mr. Prospector is a really tough race. There's a lot of speed in here. XY Jet is just a really, really fast horse, and he's the speed of the speed. He's a three-year-old facing older, but you got to look at some of the horses that have the capability of finishing. Stall Walking Dude looks tough. He just got up last time in a stakes at Gulfstream. He's got a shot. The horse I kind of gravitated to a little bit was Grande Shores. And this horse, he's had some rough trips, but he's a horse that likes Gulfstream Park. He's won 4 races out of 20. He's been first or second 12 out of 20. And I think he's got a big shot to upset today. He'd come off a little bit of a layoff last time. Made a decent finish, but against All Walking Dude. I think he'll be a lot tighter today. He had a really swift breeze before his last race. Might have taken a little something out of him. He worked 11-3 in the mud on November 17th and then ran back on December the 5th. So I think he'll be a little fresher today. He'll be a little fitter. He's a 7-year-old, and I look for him to put in a good effort. It's a really, really difficult race. I would not bet the farm on that one.
And who wins the Tropical Park Derby, my friend?
Well, the horse I like, and probably the only horse I'll bet today, is number 9, Team Colors. He's a really nice horse. He's got my top turf figure, got Joel Rosario, and he comes from off the pace in a race that has some speed in it to help set up his closing charge.
Our thanks to all of our guests for joining us here on this edition of the Equine Forum. Owen Hardy, who took the time to visit with Jude yesterday. Bill Farish from Lane's End, Tim Capps from the University of Louisville, and of course that interview with Chuck Simon. If you missed any portion, go to our website, horseracingradio.net, to check out the podcast. Want to thank our producer, Lee Delapina, back in our Lexington studio, and Sean C. for all of our social media. For the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. And because nothing good comes of deviation, go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.